Hello, my name is Charles Wright, and welcome to the Complete in Christ podcast, where we endeavor to fit the pieces of our lives together according to the Word of God. Here on Complete in Christ, we're trying something new and kicking off a sermon series. The title of the series is What's in Your Heart, and it's taken from a sermon that I preached in 2019. And the aim of that sermon was that by better understanding the link between our hearts, our beliefs, and our decisions, that we would be convicted and ultimately compelled to ask God to show us what He sees in our hearts, and then be determined to genuinely and earnestly seek Him to renew our hearts and our minds. The sermon is taken from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, and I pray that it blesses you. Let's get to it.
I am honored to be here this morning, and so excited to see what the Lord is going to do. Let me just be very, very transparent, and before we even get to the text, I feel like this is a tough sermon. It dealt with me toughly. I don't know if I can say toughly, but it did, right? And that might just be because of where I am, right? But you can't, anyone who's ever taught or preached or anything, it's hard for you to prepare a sermon and that sermon not cut and chip at you. Ain't that right, Pastor Bowen?
Amen.
Yeah. And so what I'm asking for is that as we move through this, that you would do what's called intentional listening, right? That means don't just let my words kind of wash over you. Right? But engage with what's being said. Spend some time chewing on it. If you got the handout, you'll see there's not a whole lot there. There's two sections there because I didn't want you caught up in trying to capture all these points and fill in these blanks and all my takeaways. But I really want you to be thinking, even as I'm preaching, about what's being preached, if that makes sense. And we'll kind of do this thing together as we move through this. So the scripture you can see there in the bulletin is Hebrews, the third chapter, verse 12. Not very long. Very straightforward. And there you'll find these words. If you got it, you can see it and read along. But take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. Let me read that one more time. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. The aim for today's lesson is that by better understanding the link between our hearts, our beliefs, and our decisions, we would be convicted and compelled to ask God to show us what He sees in our hearts. And then we would be determined to genuinely and earnestly seek Him to renew our hearts and minds. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I do have, as we get into this, and by way of a little bit of introduction, I do have the unique opportunity of preaching this Sunday and next Sunday. So this is going to be kind of a part one of a series, a mini series, a part one and a part two. And so if some of this sermon leaves you a little hungry, don't worry. Come back next Sunday. And we will put hopefully a nice bow on it all together. But what I'm trying to do and what I hope the Lord will help me do is to kind of set the stage for some introspection through the week that when we come back on next Sunday will make you even more ready to hear what thus saith the Lord. All right. Now, I do feel compelled to say this. I preach and I teach from the perspective that the Bible is true. And when I say that the Bible is true, I don't mean just true to me, right? But objectively true. You understand what I mean by that? What I mean is that regardless of what I think about it, regardless of my opinion on any given text, on any historical fact or discrepancy or anything that anybody can bring up, regardless of what conclusions I even come to, I believe that the Bible is objectively true, meaning that it stands alone as truth. And this is important. This is important. This is important because some of the things that we're going to talk about today, not everybody agrees with as being true. And especially in our postmodern society, right, that says that there really is no objective truth. It says that you have your truth. I have my truth. All of God's children got their own truth. But that's the world we live in, right? To push it even further, some will say that, well, you know, what you believe in makes it true. And I'm a, you know, I'm an engineer by degree, so math is my thing. I love numbers. And I thought about this. I was like, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, whether I write 5 on my paper or not. So there are some things that are objectively true. The sun is hot. You don't have to believe it, Pastor Bolton. Just go stand out there. When the sweat beads is running down, you're in Utah. It doesn't change the fact that the sun is hot. And look, I'm compelled to make this statement because a lot of what we're going to talk about today, like I mentioned, the world, right, it actually runs counter to what the world says. But we really should be able to say that about every sermon that kind of comes from the pulpit of the Church of God. More specifically, what we're going to be talking about today is a little bit about the nature of people. Even more specifically, about the nature of our hearts. Who we are at our core. And while the Bible will definitely be the foundation for what we cover, I am going to, like I mentioned before, I'm going to challenge each and every one of you, right? If you would, to just continually through the service, I will not consider it a disrespect if you would just ask yourself this question. What's in my heart? Not what do I know should be in my heart? Not what I would like to be in my heart, but what is in my heart? Here's a little exercise. You guys trust me? Yeah, one person trusts me. That's good. Close your eyes. Just where you are, close your eyes. I'm going to do the same thing. Just in the silence. And pay attention to the things that pop up, to the thoughts that run across, to the things that you're thinking about. Sometimes it's just background noise. Sometimes we're not even conscious of it. That person you saw, that thing you heard, that scent you smelled. Okay, you can open your eyes. I'm not going to ask anybody to share, right? But if you're like me, all kinds of stuff is zipping, running through. Stuff that I wouldn't be proud of. I once said once that, Lord help us if we all had thought bubbles above our heads and everything that ran across our mind was on display for everyone to see. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. But that's for everybody, oh, Lord. Right? All right, so just by way of a little bit of context here, we are in the book of Hebrews as we move through this. Hebrews is somewhat of a challenging book because of a couple of things. One is because scholars aren't really sure who wrote the book. Some people say it looks like it was written by Paul. Some say maybe Barnabas. Some say Apollos. Others say Luke. Some even say Priscilla. So there's some uncertainty about who actually penned Hebrews. There's also some uncertainty about the audience. Some say, well, it was written to Gentile Christians. And these Gentile Christians were experiencing some outward pressure from the community and the old things that they, in the old circles they used to run in, because they left behind the pagan life and in some cases maybe even left behind places and positions of authority and prominence. Others say, no, it's not Gentile Christians, it's Jewish Christians. And these Jewish Christians are struggling with having left behind the temple practices, right? The sacrifices and the rituals and not eating certain things and dressing a certain way and requiring circumcision. And then others say, no, it's a mixed group. Some Jewish Christians, some Gentile Christians. And then there's even some question about exactly when it was written. Maybe it was written before the temple was destroyed, 70 AD. Maybe it was written afterwards. And those things have some influence and have some significance as you're trying to rightly interpret some of the passages. But while there can be questions about some of those details, there are some things that are very, very certain. And that is that the book of Hebrews presents a very, very complete and explicit comprehensive image of Jesus in his priestly role. Yes. It shows him as the inaugurator of a better new covenant. In Hebrews, we are presented with a Jesus who is greater than the angels. We are presented with a Jesus who is a priest who can sympathize with us because he also suffered and was tempted as we are. We are presented with a Jesus who is greater than Moses. He is our great high priest. We are presented with a Jesus whose death ushered in the new covenant that's better than the old, like we said, and built on faith. And as a result, those who are covered by his blood now live lives according to that faith. And it's in this verse, the writer of Hebrews presents us with three things. The writer presents us with a caution, with a condition, and with a consequence. So let's take a look at the caution first, where it says, take care, brothers. The writer of Hebrews, right, opens this verse with a verb that in the original Greek is in the imperative mood. Now, that's just a fancy way of saying that this verb that this writer is using isn't a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. It's not a, hey, if you get around to it, maybe you should try to take care, but it's a command. It expresses the will of the writer to influence the behavior of the one he is writing or she is writing to. So this lets us know that there is an active role that we can play. When he opens up and says, when the writer opens up and says, take care, that lets us know that there are steps that we can actually take. Things that we can do, behaviors that we can adopt to either enable or prohibit whatever follows the take care. Now, in our case, it is the evil and unbelieving heart that can lead you away from God. So this morning, what we're going to deal with is the notion of an evil and unbelieving heart. And the next Sunday, if the Lord stays the same, right, and the creek don't rise, what we will come back then is look at how it leads us away from God and what we can do to take care. Now, when we talk about evil and unbelieving, that is extremely strong language. And it is a bit off-putting. Evil and unbelieving. And it becomes even more so jarring and even a little bit surprising if you kind of if you consider that the writer of the Hebrews addresses this to brothers, which can also be read as brothers and sisters. In other words, while an evil and unbelieving heart is the condition of every man, woman, and child before accepting Christ, the text lets us know that even after Christ, there is still a danger of allowing ourselves to be led by a heart that is evil and unbelieving. Yeah, just kind of let that sink in. Because sometimes when we hear, oh, evil and unbelieving, that sounds like those folks, whoever those folks are. But the writer of Hebrews says, brothers, solid word of nights. Make sure you aren't led away by an evil and unbelieving heart. But before we can get all the way into that, we have to understand what's meant by heart, all right? The condition is that you have an unbelieving and an evil heart, but what is meant by heart? Well, it's not the biological organ that's pumping blood, right? But the heart is representative of a couple of things in the Bible. And bear with us as we move through some scriptures here. The first one we're going to look at is Genesis 42 and 28. Genesis 42 and 28. The context for this a little bit is Joseph and his brothers have come to him while he is in Egypt. And now, you know, he is ruler over many things. They're asking for some grain. He says, yep, that's cool. They brought some money to buy that grain from him. He fills their bags up with the grain and he gives them their money back, right? Because he's their brother. He loves them. They don't know that he's their brother yet, but they leave. And when they look into their bags, they discover, right? As it says here in the text, he said to his brothers, my money has been put back. Here it is in the mouth of my sack. And at this, their hearts failed them. And they turned trembling to one another, saying, what is it that God has done to us? Genesis 42, 28 lets us know that the heart can represent our emotions, right? Our feelings. These guys were afraid because it looked like they had stolen from Pharaoh.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Complete in Christ podcast. If you have any questions regarding this episode or series, you can send them to questions@completeinchristpodcast.org. Please include your name, where you're from, and the specific episode you're referencing. Also, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast. It gives us feedback that helps us to keep improving and provide some insight for those who may be listening for the very first time. Again, my name is Charles Wright, and until next time, be blessed.